we're all on the same page. We all understand the struggles, but it's about creating clarity within communication that is the key to ensuring success within your team, within your practice, and for your patients.
Welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, the podcast that is dedicated to making clinical dentistry simple. Join us as we decode the complexities of dental care by providing actionable insights into the diverse aspects of clinical practice, the latest trends, and the newest technologies. Whether you're a seasoned clinician or just starting out of dental school, listen in on engaging discussions, expert interviews, and a wealth of tips and tricks to enhance your clinical workflows. So turn up that volume and get ready to transform your clinical practice with the Digital Smile Hub. And now, here's your host, Dr. Tim Anderson.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Digital Smile Hub. I'm your host, Dr. Tim Anderson, and this is where we try to make all things clinical dentistry, and we try to make it simple for you. This week, I don't know about you guys, but this week has been a total cluster. You know, we got back from lecturing this last weekend, and I don't know if I just put everything off and I just came back, and it was just chaos in my office. And, you know, I kind of pride myself in having some systems and doing things really well. But ultimately, I felt like this week was a total failure, which is ironic because one of the things that I think is awesome to talk about is actually what our guest today is going to be talking about, which is talking about some of the organizational aspects of case management, and specifically of, like, you know, any of these cases, if it's a single unit implant or a full arch case, and how we manage who's doing what, and does the lab have it, and or did the parts get ordered, or does the lab need something more from us, does the patient get called, all these things that ultimately we've all been there where it kind of just bites us in the butt when it doesn't work out. So I am super excited to have our guest here today, Andrea Deloach, right? Did I say that right?
Said it right. You nailed it.
Hello.
I was super excited because Andrea, for those who don't know, Andrea is a very special person to me because she helps teach all of my courses with regards to smile design, 3D printing, some of the digital implant courses with regards to printing. And honestly, I couldn't do any of the things that I do without her, which is awesome. But what others don't know is that Andrea is a total kick-ass dental assistant who does way more than suck spit. So I am super excited to kind of dive into this topic today. So Andrea, welcome to the Digital Smile Hub.
Thank you. I'm excited. Excited to be here.
You're kind of giant, like, getting into this whole podcast thing, because you guys are you're also involved in another podcast here and there, aren't you?
Yes, so I kind of guest star, if you will, guest speak on the 3D Dentist Team podcast, The Dental Diaries. That's with Meredith and Aubrey, and they're just amazing because, you know, they kind of handle the team mastermind with 3D Dentist, and just really, it just kind of encompasses all of the, you know, 3D dentist systems and solutions that we've come up with. And it's just really raw and ultimately kind of just talking through things that we've either dealt with the struggles of trying to implement certain things or how we came to these ideas. So it's really cool. So any other team members, please listen, because it's lots of just great information.
So if you're not following, you guys, get on that, because they're released. They got episodes out. So good stuff. Andrea, I'm super excited about this topic today. I'm not going to lie, because I'm one of those individuals that, you know, when I look at dentists, you know, I feel like we fall into a couple different categories with regards to, like, how we manage our caseloads and our labs and our team. You know, we've got those that are, shall we say, like me, and are a little obsessive compulsive and don't let others play. But here's the deal. On my defense, I love that aspect of dentistry, which is why I try to take control of it. But ultimately, I hold my team back, which I think you will speak to. But I'm definitely the culprit in that, in the fact that I do everything. And when I do everything, nothing happens, because I'm a procrastinator, and I wait till the very last minute to do everything. As I'm, you know, after this tonight, I get to design and mill and stain and glaze for implant crowns, because they have to be done for tomorrow. So
I
know. So it's my own fault. So we've got those kind of dentists. We've also got dentists that, you know, are the polar opposite of me, and they refer absolutely everything to their lab. They refer everything. They are hands off. Their team's hands off. And that's you know, a little bit easier from the case management, because it's like, lab was sent out and when's it coming back?
Right.
But yeah, most dentists, I feel like, are part of this hybrid role of like, the dentist is doing some things, the team members are doing some things. And the problem is, we start leveling up and we start doing all these new procedures, and we start, our caseload gets bigger, and the cases get more complex. And all of a sudden, everything falls to crap because we don't have systems in place to do this. So I'm super excited to talk about this and figure out how and why you guys do it. So first off, tell us, before we jump into that, because people need to know what you do, how you do, talk to us a little bit about your journey as a dental assistant team member and kind of what you do now. And then let's dive into this.
Okay. Yeah. So I actually started out as a dental assistant in 2009, a long time ago. And then when I moved to Tennessee, I ended up just getting anywhere in dentistry. So I worked 5 years as the referral coordinator, as we called it, the donut girl, really, for an oral surgeon. And I did that for 5 years and really just missed chair side. I missed lab stuff. I missed just like the real world of dentistry. And so, you know, I kind of moved and started working at Sullivan Dental Partners probably almost 7 years ago, which is kind of crazy. But, and yeah, I did just do the regular old, you know, bread and butter dentistry. And then I kind of just started to take on more and more just because I was hungry for it. You know, I was like, okay, well, what else is there out there than, you know, just sucking spit, as you call it. But so we had tried to implement, which Dr. Selle's super forward on, like, technology and trying to be, you know, learn the new state, the systems, and learn all the things. But implementing that was so hard because he was still doing all the dentistry and all the things and trying to run a business with Dr. Rick. And so, you know, I'm sure that you can also feel the pressure of that, also trying to run your practice and also do the lab things. So, it came to a point where, you know, we had to kind of like, you know, I was like, we're available and can help do some things. It all comes from the top, right? So like, if you have work-life balance, then we have work-life balance and all of those things. And so I think that for me personally, I felt like I was like, I want to have something that is like my baby, right? Like I could take ownership of and make it be better. So he actually had a 3D printer and then was said to hell with it and gave it to his, like our lab, our, you know, local lab, and was like, forget this. And then eventually got back into 3D printing and was kind of like, I don't really have a lot of time to do this while I'm also trying to learn, you know, up my skill set and do all the things that he was trying to aspire to do. And so that's kind of when I started to take it on, really. And we had done all the things. We tried, you know, printing our own like models for aligners, which was a total mess, which, and also we have this beautiful office now, but at the time our office was very small. And we used every tiny little inch of that space. And so my 3D printer was in the team bathroom.
It was in the team bathroom?
It was in the team bathroom. It was first in their office. They had like a tiny little office and the printer was in there. And so then I would like bust up in there in the middle of wherever. And I was like, I got to get these models off the thing. There's resin everywhere. And like they were over that pretty quickly. So then the next best thing was the team bathroom. So that was there for a couple of years. And, you know, I made it work in there. there were times where I would make sure to put like a, you know, I guess a sign on the door that was like lab only. And usually that was like after lunch, just obviously. So yeah, I mean, we just made it work. And then I kind of found myself being like, okay, well, assisting, and we had a lot of changes go on. We hired an associate. We had kind of started trying to do a little more comprehensive care. So we were trying to implement several things all at once, photos of all the patients and everything. And so I was like, okay, we also didn't have like a designated assistant per doctor. And so it was like, whoever's available, get the patient back. So there wasn't a lot of organization as far as, especially with lab cases and all of that at that point either. And so we kind of started to dial in the organization of that, which was obviously very needed. And then once our 3D printing had kind of like gotten a little more like people were, you know, night guards and surgical guides and all of the things, I was like, okay, so in order for this to be successful, I'm going to need to have time to do it. Cause I was like staying till 6 PM, you know, trying to like make sure it printed, or then there was failed prints and all the things that come along with, you know, 3D printing, and learning it. And so then we started to do like, I was the consult girl. So I would take the diagnostics for the consults and I would work on like big procedures and we would block schedule those things out. But then on consult days, I would do the handoff to the treatment coordinator. And then that was my time to do lab stuff. And so it was very like specifically set ahead that like, or planned ahead that like, these were my lab days. This was my lab time, because otherwise I would run myself and do all the things. And then I was like, wait a second, this is due tomorrow.
So at this time, were you the one that was doing like, were you the one doing all the lab work for your doctor, or was it like were you still at the time of like, hey, we've got multiple assistants doing a little bit of everything, or was it like, Andrea is the 3D printing, this is your role, or how did that work out?
3D printing, yes. Now when it came to like Sarah Crowns and all of that, all of our assistants were trained to do those things. So same day crowns and even implant crowns, you know, were with the assistants that worked on that patient. Because again, at that point, we didn't really have a lot of like, it was just kind of like free for all assistants. And I think that it's important to know that like in our practice, we've got, you know, six doctors, and ideally everyone can kind of like, you know, mix in a little bit. But you kind of learn your people regardless of if you have an SDP way, which is what we call it, or not, with procedures and things like that.
So you just kind of know. SDP stands for
Sullivan Dental Partners. All sorry. Right. Yeah. but yeah, so you kind of learn your doctor obviously and what they like and what they like things to look like and all the things. Like some doctors like things to be polished and some do like to be glazed. But I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here, but basically.
I guess I have a question on this, because I think a lot of us, when we're, you know, I think what you guys started with was like, you're introducing a new technology and all of a sudden the scope of what your role was starts changing. And, you know, as we start advancing in our careers, you know, when we first come out of school, we're just doing a few things here and there as students. And then as we continue to level up, all of a sudden we start expanding that scope. We start finding what we're passionate about and we start diving into that. How, you know, at that point, you know, you guys introduced 3D printing. You hadn't done that. 3D printing obviously has its own struggles as you learn to integrate that technology into your workflow. But as, you know, as Sully and Rick are advancing their clinical skill set, how did the team, you know, how did you guys adapt to that? Was it like, hey, just learn this? Or was it, you know, did they kind of set you up for success, or was it kind of trial by fire?
I feel like it was a little bit of both. And I think I was actually kind of terrified at the beginning because I had not been familiar with this, like, replace yourself mentality. And so, I mean, in which most people aren't, right? And so, like, I was kind of like, okay, well, if I become the consult girl where I'm taking bite wings and I'm just, like, the nice smiling face trying to, like, you know, talk about comprehensive care, and then I just go into the team bathroom to do 3D printing, like, where is my value? If he couldn't make 3D printing work, then how am I supposed to? And then at that point, like, you know, so there is that fear that's like, okay. And then, you know, then they're like, okay, well, there is a need for another assistant, or there is a need. And so then, you know, that fear comes in where you're like, okay, you know, am I getting butt out? Am I getting the boot? you know, what if this doesn't work? And then I have nothing, I, you know, don't have a leg to stand on. But I think that where they were really, really great at this is that, not that they were like super like training me, because honestly, like, they didn't really have time either. He was pretty much like, hey, I need you to figure this out. Here's the tech support numbers. This is what I know, and run with it. But he also gave me a really safe place to fail. So I was like, you know, there was a few couple mornings where like I came in at 6 o'clock in the morning to check to see if the surgical guide was on the platform, and the platform was empty. And I'm like, oh gosh, the surgery's at 7, you know, and there, you know, that's not very happy to walk in and be like, why is it, you know, like, so obviously there were some times where like, I failed, and it was a really like at least a safe place to have given feedback and been like, okay, so maybe we consider there being a different, you know, area of time for you to do this or whatever it is.
That's so important, because I love that you use the term safe place to fail, because anytime we're integrating technology, it can be difficult to adopt it. It doesn't matter what it is, or our new skill set. Like right now I'm trying, you know, we're integrating sedation and Olanex into our practice. And that's a big pill to swallow. And it doesn't matter if it's that, or if it's 3D printing, or if it's same day crowns. We learn a lot through our struggles, and that's something to be important. But what I love that you'd mentioned, because I think there's a big misconception with regards to how we teach and how we empower our team. And I personally feel that too many clinicians feel that they need to be the expert of every aspect of their practice before they can let go and let somebody else do it. Like, they have to master it before somebody else can. And what I love that you were alluding to is the fact that Sully wasn't the master of 3D printing at that point. You know, I look at my own practice, I'm like, I don't know the first thing. I mean, I know some about insurance and all that, but like, I'm not the expert in that. I'm not the expert in how to communicate with patients regarding their financial, you know, what their EOB says or anything like that. But what we do is we provide an environment to allow those around us to thrive, and in a safe place to fail, but with support and encouragement. And because ultimately, as long as we're under the same umbrella and same goal, that's the important aspect. And then too many times I see clinicians trying to focus on being the expert. Like, I can't integrate 3D printing because I need to be the expert in that, or I can't teach my team. I'm like, I guarantee that there are team members out there that are way better at digital designing and 3D printing workflows and manufacturing than any dentist around. And unless they're giving the opportunity to thrive, I think that's what's so amazing about your guys' story, is that if you hadn't been given that opportunity to thrive, I really don't think you'd be in the situation you are now. I mean,
definitely.
It's a great environment.
Well, and there are also a lot of things that, like, you know, I still have a bailout. Like, because we also don't think that there, you know, it's always good to be able to be like, go to your doctor and say, whether the bailout is, I don't know what to do here, and he's like, okay, well, let me give you a little grace and let me give you some time to call tech support, or whatever the bailout is. Or if it's like, I can't get this IV started, I've tried everywhere, you're going to have to go, you know, like, so there's a fine line kind of between just letting your team run with it and just being like, I don't know what they do, they just do all the things for me. And then also kind of having, like, you know, some level of, like, you work together to be able to be like, okay, this is your thing. But if you... I mean, there was one time, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I'm pretty sure it was pregnancy brain. There was one time
this is a safe place.
I don't know what happened to them, but I had to have thrown them away. 14 crowns that I had milled. They were ready to go. I don't know where they went. And we turned the whole office upside down. I have no idea what happened to them. And I had to go in there and be like, so Miss Smith is coming in and 2 hours, we have lost the crowns. And honestly, safe place to fail. Didn't do it again, I promise. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like, it's really hard to juggle all of the things. And if you as the practice owner and the dentist and the production mule, like we like to call it sometimes, are also trying to implement and try new things, and also maybe sometimes sit on the phone for on hold with tech support for 2 hours. Like, your time is money. Just like, you know, it all is. So I think just recognizing that, and also recognizing the strength in your people and giving them, like, again, safe place to fail, and trusting that they are capable. Cause you never know. I mean, like, the person that's like doodling in her, you know, paper during like morning huddle may be the person that's like best at, like, standing and glazing your crowns.
You really never know until people are given the opportunities. And you kind of brought up an interesting, so, you know, I love the story, the losing of the 14 crowns. Because I'm not going to say I haven't lost or haven't had team members lose stuff like that in the past. So, you know, as you've kind of grown, you know, we start with like single unit stuff where it's pretty easy to manage. But how have you guys really started to how have you created your systems with regards to the workflows of how you're managing cases? You have multiple doctors. So, I mean, that gets confusing with regards to like who's managing what is like, how do you guys keep track of this? Because ultimately, like for somebody like me, this is what I want to know. I'm like, I need better systems because right now my system is a whiteboard in my office/lab that my team members just write stuff on and they hope that I get it done. And that's where we're at. So I'm like, how have you guys evolved from the bathroom 3D printing craziness to the what you guys have six doctors now, to the multi-doc management within your lab? How does that work?
So there's several factors that go into organization of that specific appointment. That is the delivery of the crowns or the delivery of the implant crown or whatever it is, final hybrid delivery. And one thing that I love to talk about, which is chart review, and that can be done on certain different things. In our office, we have like a shared Excel spreadsheet that has all of the doctors at the bottom. And then there's basically like checklists per patient of things we need to know. That's kind of overkill, but I think there is probably a more simple way to do it. A whiteboard is also a great way to do it. But I think the best way, honestly, for kind of that middle of the ground scale is kind of like if you have an appointment note, we do appointment note templates where like in Open Dental for us, we have like a question mark and it says appointment. And so like it pulls up a template where you fill in all the blanks. And one blank is lab. There's also a separate little lab management portal, or I guess section in Open Dental that helps too, but basically that allows you to see we look a day, a week, and a month out to kind of see like what's coming in, what do we need to make sure we're looking for, and you know, deciding like do we need to move this patient or not. I think setting realistic,
is this like everybody's doing this, or is this like, is there a lead assistant that's tied to the doctor, or how does that work?
So it's basically the assistant and doctor pod is what we call them in our office. And so we have, you know, one assistant, one doctor for the most part, and outside of like large major surgeries. But basically those people are making sure that prior to the appointment, all preoperative diagnostics are being taken, or if they haven't been taken, like say you're doing a crown, right? You look ahead beforehand and like, you're like, oh, I guess I need to get a PA. So that makes, you know, you know already by the time the patient gets in the chair, you get them numb, take the PA, and you're ready to go. Instead of like having that, like, I don't know if any other assistants feel this way, but like still now, not that I've assisted with a single crown in a really long time, but as soon as that burr hits the tooth, I'm like, I'm like, did I get a PA and did I get a pre-op impression for the temporary? Like still in my head, because I used to be like, did I get the little wax press mold or whatever before? Like it just pops in my head.
It's still,
I know. So it kind of allows you to recognize like, okay, I already know this patient needs a PA. So it's like PA needed or consent form needed or whatever it is that's missing. So lab stuff is very much in there, right? Because you can say like surgical guide designed, and then you can put surgical guide printed, surgical guide, you know, implant pulled, report done, all of the things. And then having like a designated storage area for all of your cases, because I know some assistants just try to get it done in between things or in between patients, or you're waiting on your patient to get numb. So you're like trying to cement the tie base to the next patient's implant crown, like in the room, it's just disaster. So having like for one time to do that, and scheduling ahead time. So I guess we plan ahead, like, very realistically, like our full arch cases are no less than 2 weeks. And that's also in office milling. But we've also already gotten a mock-up design prior to the appointment. So we kind of have like a system based on our technology and our skill set. But I think the biggest thing is to make sure that like you say, okay, implant placement. You have 4 months before you can uncover and, you know, place the implant crown, assuming you didn't scan at the implant placement, which we think you should.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Posteriors.
So for the people in the back, scan for your implant at your placement appointment. But just kind of having whatever system in place works for you and everybody knowing that timeline. so that the schedulers know, the assistants know, the hygienists even know. So like if the patient comes in and they're like, I want 8 veneers, the hygienist can be like, okay, well, that's great. This is what this timeline looks like. You can have it within blah, blah, blah time, whatever time is specifically stated
on
there.
And that's such a tough thing to, like, I feel like that's one of the things that my office, we suck at. I mean, I'll get asked routinely, like, well, how long is this going to take? And I'm like, I don't really know. So, I mean, communication and clarity with regards timelines, like, holy cow, you guys, like, we've started trying to, like, actually write down, like, okay, if it's this procedure, this is the standard protocol time, how much we need. And part of that, it's tough as your skill set evolves, because when it's, you know, when you're doing CAD-CAM chairside restorative, like, well, that's easy because you're just doing it that day or maybe the next day. But then once you start implementing full arch and there's multiple planning appointments and all these other parts and pieces, it gets really complicated. Or if you're working with other labs, like a lot of us will work with multiple labs. And so every lab technician is going to have a different time frame. So I love that you guys have that focus. But I'm like, man, that is one thing I need to get way better at, because I'm awful at it.
Well, I also think it's important, too, because like if a patient's coming in to spend, you know, let's say 8 veneers, they're going to spend like 15, 20 grand or whatever it is on a cosmetic case. And then they're asking the person, the hygienist, that's like trying to sell the case or whatever. And they're like, well, how long is it going to take? And she's like, well, I don't know. You know, it just kind of like, if you can at least set something in stone. Well, yeah. And, you know, you kind of want to, you obviously want to build trust with patients, and you want to, like, you know, even if you say it'll take a month and a half, you know, like it's going to, like, you know, at least you're honest, you know, like, because if you set the expectation realistically and set, like, you know, that you could probably grind it out and mill them overnight and stay, you know, miss dinner and do all the things and get them done in 2 days. But why would you if it's not, like, it'd be different if the patient was like, I'll pay an extra $3,000 to have these tomorrow. You know, like.
No, I agree there. So
yeah.
No,
The
clarity with that, like, how have you guys created that, though? Because I mean, I think that's one of, like, when you, like you said, the hygienists know, the front end, is this part of, like, your team meetings when you're telling people, like, how are you communicating this to the team?
Well, we, like, I know specifically we have one, like, implant sheet, right? And it's got an implant in the middle, and it's like, you know, a, you know, good design of things. It's very easy to see. And it's like step one, extraction bone graft. And then it has like 4 months later, step two, you know, healing check, comb beam, all the things. And then, you know, maybe like 1 week later, step three, implant placement and scan. Step four, you know, implant crown, you know, seat. And that's a whole, and then total 8 months basically. So that kind of shows, and all of the hygienists have that in their operatories, along with other, like, you know, there's like a LINAT protocol, like appointment number one is this, a month later, appointment number two is polish, you know, like, and it's very much like we've planned those things out. And then obviously if someone's crowns get done within, you know, a week, we have the space on our schedule, then we bring them in. But we also block schedule, like, especially for the associates, like if they have, you know, a 3-hour block for crowns specifically, then we make sure that we have like enough space, like for enough space for that crown seat in 3 weeks as like a crown block.
Yeah. They can actually do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's already kind of pre-scheduled there.
I want to dive, because you talked about your Excel, because I like tangible things, because I'm very curious on this Excel sheet that you guys use to manage, because I've been to your guys' office and I've seen not only the Excel sheet, but I've also seen how, like, the lab case pans and the doctors and all that. So let's dive in to a little bit on the Excel sheet, like how that's organized, who's inputting the data, and then from that, how it goes to the technicians, whether it's assistants or the techs in office, and how that works.
Okay, so we call it chart review, and basically it's kind of, I guess, directed toward per doctor. So like some doctors that don't do IV sedation may have different types of chart review than the doctors that do. All doctors in our practice do sedation. So if it's a sedation appointment, then we put like pre-op call completed, yes or no. Post-op call needed, yes or no.
Obviously, so these are all like columns within the
sheet. It's columns,
sheet.
Yes. Gotcha. So the patient, doctor specific. So gotcha. Each, I guess they call them books at the bottom. Excel, goodness. I think they're books at the bottom. Is labeled per doctor. And so everyone can, you know, everyone can see it. It's a shared document. And then the assistants prior to will fill in this chart review. And so to me, I feel like it's like studying for a test, right? Because like you're looking ahead at your week. So, you know, allergies, if you check the medical history, if it's within a year and you've done the pre-op call or whatever, you know that there's any allergies. I don't know if any offices use latex anymore, but if there's a latex allergy, that's obviously very important to know. Penicillin allergy, you know, do they need to bring an inhaler, whatever it is, to their appointment. Preoperative diagnostics. So that's, again, like I was saying, if you need PAs or if your photos are terrible and you need to retake them before the patient gets numb, or if you, you know, whatever it is that you kind of notice based on what that appointment is. So obviously, if it's a filling appointment, we started putting all of those on chart review, but we actually since then have changed that to where smaller appointments like fillings and crowns don't necessarily need an entire part on this chart review thing, because those are also the appointments that change a lot. And so like if you're typing it in and then they cancel because it's like a 1 hour filling and it's a, you know, 26 year old that doesn't care about an occlusal filling, they're probably going to cancel. And
so a little different than the All-NX hybrid case. Yeah,
exactly. So we kind of just like tweaked it based on what we thought we needed. And at first it became very redundant, right? It was like, okay, well, I know I've already put that. I've already put on a sticky note on the whiteboard that I sent Dr. Tim that he needed to design the surgical guide. Why do I need to put it here? But for me, I feel like having everything, all details, right, like as much as possible in repetition is so important, because especially if you have it in two separate locations, right? Like if you're designing or milling an implant crown at, you know, 6 p.m. on a Thursday, the assistant got the shade, but she didn't put it anywhere. And you're like, now you're having to dig through all the notes to figure out when you talked about the shade. And it's not like, I think having like a designated area for all lab stuff and all of it goes everywhere.
So just to clarify, this chart review, is this within an Excel document, or is this within that's in Open Dental for you?
It's within an Excel document. Okay, it's like perfect. a shared so like OneDrive document.
Yes,
everyone can do that. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just kind of nice because we also have, you know, if there's two assistants working on the same thing, we also made it to where you can type done and it turns it green, or if you type needed, it turns it red. And so it's very like visible that it's, and if it's yellow, it means no one's checked it.
So I got to ask, because I know people are going to message and DM regarding like, how can I get this document? Who created this document for you guys? Or did you have like a team member?
I didn't.
Like really Excel?
I kind of got it started, and then Aubrey kind of tweaked it a little bit to kind of get it. Because I started it between Celeste and I, because I was like, I have no idea if she did the pre-op call or if I didn't do the pre-op call or if what, you know. And so I was like, why don't we just share this amongst ourselves and then, you know, work on our patients. And then it kind of caught on, because prior to this, we had actual paper, chart review paper, like just a printed out paper, which is a good place to start, right? Because just because it worked for us digitally doesn't mean, you know, it's going to work for everybody. But at least it gets you like in the process of looking ahead at the schedule, because how many times do you like leave for the day and you're like, shoot, I didn't look, what are we doing tomorrow? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear you there.
And it's like studying for a test.
So the chart review, does that also then function as like when things are getting ordered or who ordered what?
Yeah. So
also in that document?
So I do a lot of the ordering. If it's lab related, we do keep some like tie bases on hand, a certain amount of stock of those, or multi-units on hand or whatever. But if anything needs to be ordered, that's also very clearly documented on the chart review.
Like the so design, like sent to designer.
Yes. Sent to, you know, blah, blah, blah for pre-op design, or, you know, pre-scheduled the design for the same day hybrid delivery and all of the things. So yeah, that's definitely spelled out there. In Open Dental also has a lab portion. So sometimes we'll do both. So like if the front desk person call or someone calls in and they're like, hey, you know, I don't know what shade I chose, I forgot, or whatever it is, you know, the front desk person can look. That's why I mean, like repetition, put details everywhere. But the chart would be a little more.
There's so much clarity on this. Like, I think that's one of the things that we struggle with in our practice. It's like, did you do it? Did I do it? Like, who did it? Like, I'll have my front team member come back, like my coordinator, like, hey, are the parts ordered for this case coming on next week? As she's looking, you know, 2 weeks out, like, was this ordered? And I think that's one of those systems that we're looking at, which I think I'm going to implement this chart review thing. I really like this concept of having a universal document within the practice system and that we can access and utilize and cherish. So I think that's one of the things, like, as listeners are elevating their scope of practice, you know, especially when you start taking on a new skill set. Like, so when you start placing implants for the first time, there's a lot of new components, even if it's just for singles, that you may not be used to. And more importantly, your team's not used to. So I think you guys have learned well for us and have gone through it. And like I said, I'm excited to start implementing this.
I'm excited for you. Because, I mean, honestly, it's so easy to play the blame game, right? It's so easy to be like, why are we doing this? Like, who dropped the ball here? Or like, how could we have as a team made this better? And so, yeah, it's good, especially, and it holds yourself accountable when you're made to put like ordered on, you know, April 19th in your initials. I mean, you said it.
Well, it also makes this document kind of affected like the doctors and the team from just like your guys' workflow. I mean, have you guys noticed a change?
Well, we bring it up. So if you recognize that one of your patients doesn't have a consent form and the treatment coordinator just talked to them like 3 days ago, you can be like, hey, did you mention the consent form? Or do you mind getting this? Like, because imagine having a patient come in half sedated, ready for an IV sedation appointment. They don't have a consent form. You can't get it then.
Yeah.
And so that's a big deal. And that's a big ball dropped. But I mean, like, there's tiny little things that could happen that can totally be avoided if you can just, you know, make time to look ahead. And honestly, like, at the beginning of chart review, I was like, that's why I figured out the digital way. Because I was like, I'm not going to carry around this piece of paper that Celeste and I are going to share and then, like, you know, mark it with a pencil and then be like, oh, well, the patient canceled, cross it out. Like, so anyways, yeah, I could get on the soapbox of chart review all day long. But it definitely is very, very helpful with knowing what's happening, knowing what's ahead, and then getting ahead of things that could potentially go wrong.
And I think for people like myself that love to procrastinate, because the problem is, like, I get the crap done. That's the problem. And
of course, we all do. Yeah.
But that's what I'm learning, is that my communication may not, or the way I like to be communicated is may not necessarily be the way my team likes to be communicated. And so that the way I can ride by the seat of my pants stresses the crap out of my team. And so that's one of those things that I want to work on with regards to this chart review. So I think if anybody can take one thing away from this episode, is that the clarity of communication and ensuring that everybody's on the same page is key. And I think the chart review concept of having a document, and it could be as detailed, I mean, Andrew's document is crazy detailed, or it could be as simple as just some check boxes of like, the case styles. I think that's going to be my big ask to all listeners, is that, like, try implementing some type of system like this to help alleviate the burden of communication and stress on your team. And also, doctors, get out of the way so that you can allow your team to thrive on this. Cause that's one of the things, like, I need to let go of control, so that I can have more people like you just doing cool stuff like this. So that's
well, awesome. And honestly, like, things still may go wrong. You know, you still may not get your milling machine may go down. Your milling unit may go down, and you may not have, like, there may still be issues that happen and you can't get that case done in time. So, like, having a plan in place when that happens, like, who calls the patient?
Yeah.
You know, do you stay late and try to get it done or whatever, you know, and all of those things are kind of relative, right? I mean, like, you know, it's always the patient that's going out of town, out of the country for a month, that their case doesn't, you know, mills improper, like, incorrectly or something, you know. But and honestly, I think, like, transparency from the get-go with the patient, like, setting the expectation and transparency, like, just being like, we really want for this to be really, really good for you, and unfortunately it is just not up to the standard that we want. And I know that, you know, we can put this in there as is, but honestly, if it were my tooth, I'd rather it be remilled. So I'm really sorry. But it's going to take us another blah, blah, blah days. And then you can like just, you know, let them be disappointed. But for the most part, people are going to probably be understanding and, you know.
But I think patients,
it doesn't go right every time.
They don't know if it's going to take a certain amount of time. I mean, ultimately, I think what you hinted at the beginning was that they want clarity of like, how long is this going to take? And when everybody in your team can be like, hey, it's going to take X long to do this type of case. Like patients want to know how long is it going to take? How many appointments? How can I pay for it? How much is it going to cost? All those kind of things are the critical core questions that everybody wants to know. And so what I love about this is it helps us better articulate that. And when we are very clear in our messaging, it portrays confidence and it portrays expertise to people that are, you know, consumers. They're buying what we're selling. So I like to be forward thinking and future things. So, you know, we talked about, okay, went from paper to an Excel spreadsheet. Where do you, like, in a perfect world, what does this ecosystem of like communication and accountability with regards to case management, what does that look like to you? Because I personally view our practice management software suck. They're so bad. With regards to like, we're using Excel spreadsheets, yet we've got Open Dental and we've got this, you know, we've got Weave, we've got Opera, we've got, you know, whatever platforms you're on. What do you see, like, if, now that you guys, because you guys are a little bit higher level users, what would you like to see in a perfect world of how you could better communicate to your team, your patients, and your doctors?
Yeah, I mean, we have so many levels of like communication even within our office. I mean, we do like interoffice communication is Slack or walkie-talkies. And then we've got, you know, Modento and texting and consent forms and all the things like on iPads and also on like on phones and all the things, and having to like onboard somebody that comes from like even like a, you know, small office. It's like so really having that in all in one location is like would be awesome. Like having you know, a way to show all the payment plans and show all the things outside of Modento, and like, you know, that's probably a better Aubrey question, and honestly I should make her do a podcast on it. Because but really, as it pertains to lab, I think that, because in Open Dental, and that's probably what I know the most about right now, because obviously that's what we're using, but you can attach a lab case to a patient's chart, which is, I think, great. So in those lab cases or in tasks, like if anybody texts me to order a tie base, I'm like, put it on Open Dental, because I want to have a paper trail within that patient's chart. So anybody can look in that patient's chart and see where I'm at. The problem with doing the chart review separately in an Excel spreadsheet and then this is that you have to type it both times.
Yes.
And so that's a struggle because we're busy. Yeah. And it feels very, it does. But so that's kind of always been the struggle, I think, with doing this separate chart review spreadsheet and Open Dental. But yeah, I think merging the two would be great. Being able to like run a report or like a checkbox that says like, a checkbox maybe on the appointment book, on the appointment would be awesome, that where you can just like, check. I don't know. Or,
and then it automatically turns green. You don't have to type green or done.
I know. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe that's where it goes. Well, I'm sure AI will have something to do with that.
Oh, see, yeah, there you go. That's a totally different podcast.
Off one other podcast.
Well, I hope, you know, listeners, this is one of those situations where, you know, I think this is a common ground for all of us, because I think what is important to take away for what Andrea has been talking about is that this was an evolution within their practice. And they're trying to figure out their pain points within their practice and create solutions to solve those problems. And that's one of those things. It's a constant moving target to figure out. And the difficult aspect is right when you figure it out, your scope of practice changes, and then you have to recreate the whole system, or you add new team members, or you add new doctors, or you add, you know, a specialist, or you do something like this. So, you know, the key with this is that we're all on the same page. We all understand the struggles, but it's about creating clarity within communication that is the key to ensuring success within your team, within your practice, and for your patients. And I think that's one of those take-home things, that whatever system that might be for you, make it about you and your team, but have clarity of why you're doing it. And everybody needs to be on the same page. And, you know, Andrea, you guys have nailed it out of the park on a lot of your stuff. If people want to reach out to you and figure out more about like some of these systems, about the communication sheet and all that, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can actually, you can email me at Andrea@SullivanDentalPartners.com. Or my Instagram, which is not, you know, I just repost things. It's not very fun or very dentally, but it's AE_Deloach, DELOACH, is my Instagram handle. Otherwise, yeah, I mean,
or if you really like probably hanging out with Andrea, like for those of you who are not watching the video version of this, Andrea and I are literally wearing the same shirt today, which was not planned. Totally just have it. It says it's a sprint race shirt. It says I love 3D printing. So Andrea and I, like I said, if you like what we're doing, Andrea is a wealth of knowledge, especially for team members, doctors alike. We do, Andrea's a part of all of our courses within 3D Dentists, that especially my courses that involve digital smile design, 3D dentures, digital dentures, 3D printing, as well as our 3D printing surgical guides courses. So if you want to hang out with us in Nashville or Raleigh, do check out 3D-dentist.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You know, continue to share this for us. You know, we're always looking for topics. This was one of the topics that, like, was brought up to us that, like, hey, how do you guys manage this stuff? And I think I learned, I think I took more away from this podcast than I've taken from any of the other interviews I've done, because I'm like, all right, I need to do this. I need an Excel
spreadsheet. Good. I gave you some action.
I love
action
it.
Points.
So thanks, yeah. Andrea. Everybody, we'll check you guys next time. Otherwise, take it easy and we'll see you soon.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you get notified when all the new content is released. And don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends and colleagues. For more information about all things happening within the 3D Dentist family, follow us at www.3d-dentist.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you are leaving with new insights to help transform and level up your practice. Until next time, keep smiling.